Peter Beaumont is now in Tahrir Square. Peter, what's the scene there?
I mean, there's been any expectation from us in the Muslim Brotherhood that this is going to be a dance square, but it's not at all. I mean, the demonstration here isn't as big as some of the absolutely massive demonstrations that took place for the Egyptian revolution, but there are a lot of people here, and there's still more people coming, and there's a sort of real buzz. There's quite a lot of political figures here, members of the revolutionary youth, and, you know, people who've come from different parts of the country as well.
What's the comparison with the pro-Morsi demonstration you saw this morning?
I mean, I guess they're probably about the same in size. It's hard to tell because Tahrir is such a sort of difficult space to assess with sort of roads coming off it, but, you know, it's the same size or larger.
Any more a sign of clashes?
Not that I've seen so far, but, I mean, often these things take after dark, and the ones that I've heard reported in other cities, obviously I haven't, you know, been able to confirm at all.
And give us a sort of flavour of what people are chanting, what banners they're holding up.
Well, I mean, what people are saying to me is that they regard this as being a sort of a constitutional coup. I just spoke to a young woman, a pharmacist, you know, who said she's come here because she wants to, you know, she doesn't want her freedom trampled on. I spoke to Dr. Zakharian, who's an opposition politician from Port Said, who, you know, who's essentially said that, you know, if Morsi puts himself above the law, then he's no better than Mussolini. So, you know, some fairly strong sentiments being expressed here at the moment.
Earlier you were saying that Morsi tried to sort of soften this blow by pledging to go after the security forces who've been involved in killings of protesters earlier. No sign that has placated some of the...
No, not at all. I mean, if that was supposed to sweeten the pill, I mean, it certainly worked for hardline Muslim Brotherhood supporters who are delighted with it, you know, who are saying they welcome the pensions being offered to martyrs' families, you know, but there's no sign here that it's softened the pill at all, because in some ways this is a much bigger issue. I mean, funnily enough, as we were driving across Cairo between the two demonstrations, we got stuck in one of Cairo's inevitable giant traffic jams, and there was a couple near the market near Ramsey Square who we could hear talking, and an older man sort of summed up the view, I would guess, of people who are opposed to those gathering in Tahrir now, just saying, well, look, these guys are just children waving flags, whereas their view of the people gathered outside the presidency, you know, I've heard said and seen on Twitter, is that they sort of see them as just being sheep who follow the Muslim Brotherhood mobilisation.
And how are the rival demonstrations being policed?
Both of them are being policed by their own side. As you would imagine, the Muslim Brotherhood one was very, very disciplined. You get there's a line, you get searched by its members. Here in Tahrir Square, as we saw during the revolution, very similar thing. You know, the entrances to the square are blocked off. You know, people are asking who you are, show your ID before you can come in. So at the moment, they're being policed by the sides.
Is there a big security presence between the two rival demonstrations?
No. I mean, we're talking about two demonstrations. In theory, on a good day, like 20, 25 minutes drive apart, and a much, much longer drive apart because of the traffic disruption around Tahrir Square. I mean, it took me nearly an hour to get between the two.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Peter.
Okay, thanks. Bye.